this morning, we sing, "Great are you, Lord." We praise your name. And God, we can never say thank you enough for the price that you paid for us on the cross. But God, we ask this morning, God, that the price that you paid would be on the forefront of our thoughts, Lord. God, that we would be ever mindful of what you did for us. Not because we deserve it, but just because you love us. God, I ask that you would just speak to hearts this morning, that people would know they are loved by the King of Kings this morning. We love you. We thank you for your presence, and we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. You may be seated. Thank you, Phil. Thank you for the band. Really appreciate your leadership today. Thank you so much for leading us to the throne room. What an awesome thing. Oh, praise the name of the Lord our God. And see, when we say praise the name, it's more than just about a name. It's really about who that name is about, Jesus, that our forgiveness is found, that salvation is found, that hope is found through him only. And that's why we lift up the name of Jesus and we exalt him above everything in this earth. But thank you so much for leading us in that. And I just want to say a special thanks to Pastor Lee for allowing me to come up here and to preach today. As Brother Kenny said earlier, that he is in Peru with some people and we want to be praying for them. And then he's coming back for a very short layover and then he's heading out to Cambodia. So he is all over the place. So we want to be praying for him. But I'm very thankful that he's given me this opportunity today. He sent me an email several weeks ago and said, "Would you preach?" And of course, I got excited and I said, "Yeah, I'd love to." And I'm just really thrilled about it. And he did say in the email, he said, "No more Joel Osteen jokes." So see if y'all remember that. But I do have a couple other preachers I got to say something about, but I won't do that today. But anyways, I'm very, very thankful that he's given me this opportunity this morning. And as I'm up here, I just want to tell you as a church, thank you so much for last Sunday. Thank you so much for throwing us a baby shower, diaper shower for us. And we are just so thankful for that, for all the gifts, for your generosity, for your kindness that you showed towards us during that time. And we are just so grateful for that. You know, my wife, she's expecting here in the next few weeks. So just be praying for us that God would prepare us, that God would help us during that time. Our third boy, my goodness. And so some of you are already there and have been there before. So just be praying for us. But I will tell you, since I'm up here, that my wife, you know, expecting here in the next few weeks, she won't tell you this because she's very kind. She's got a very such a kind heart. But some of y'all have been making her feel a little uncomfortable by coming up and rubbing her belly and all that kind of stuff. And so, Jake Sizemore, if you could stop that, man, we'd really appreciate it. No, I'm teasing. I love Jake. He didn't do that. So, but he's a guy, he can take a joke. So, but anyways, yeah. So, but anyways, we're just so grateful for this opportunity to have our third child, and we're very thrilled. And I'm excited to be up here today. And I saw as I walked in, I've got some friends here from Vernon. I'm very grateful for y'all coming by. I've got some family here, and that's great. Some friends from Hazel as well. And so I'm very thankful for y'all being here today. But I will tell you, I'm excited. When Pastor Lee sent me the email, I knew exactly what it was that I felt that the Lord laid on my heart to preach the message today. And I mean, it was just clear as day that this is where the Lord was leading me. And I have been praying specifically for this day. I've been praying specifically for you that are here today. It is no accident that you are here. God has brought you here for a purpose. And I'm praying that God would move. I'm expecting great things today, not because of who we are, not because of what we can do, but how great God truly is. And I've learned in my lifetime that I don't have enough intellect in this brain. I don't have enough words that come out of this mouth, even though there's a lot that come out of this mouth. I don't have enough power to muster up or enough ability to bring together to really tell you how great God is, because he is so far above us. His thoughts are above ours. His ways are above ours. And I'll tell you, I'm expecting God to do great things today because of who he is. So this morning, I'm going to ask that we just come together and we pray and that we are in agreement that we want to see God move, that we're expecting him to do great things, because truly he is a great God. So this morning, I'm going to ask that we just pray together and that we come together in agreement this morning that God's going to move today. So let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I just tell you, God, that I'm so honored just to be here today. God, we're just so thankful that we have another breath of life just to worship you, to honor you. And I pray that you have been glorified through everything that's already happened in this service. God, right now in the next few moments, I just pray that you would move, God, through the reading of your word, God, that you would speak to us. God, that your word, it has a purpose that is sent out. And God, I pray it does not return void. And I know that your word is faithful. I know that you are faithful. And God, I just pray today that if there is anyone here that does not have a relationship with you, I pray that today would be their day of salvation. I pray for lost people to be saved. I pray for Christians to be changed. God, would you move? Would you work today? And Lord, I pray that as we leave this room, God, it would just be undeniable that we met with the God of this universe. Again, Lord, we just say thank you so much for Jesus Christ, and I pray this in his name. Amen. Well, as I told you that it was just as clear as day what I really believe that God was leading me to speak on this morning. And as we look around today, as we turn on the televisions, we open up the newspapers, we look at social media, all these different outlets of media, this world truly is just filled, and let's be honest, with just bad news. It is. It's terrible, and I'll tell you that I am sick and tired of bad news. It's really bad, and so as I look at all these things, and I had to look up in the year of 2016, and there were several terrible, tragic accidents and things that people did in the year 2016, and I had to look up some of these events, and I'm not bringing this up just so that way we're talking about it, but we have to understand this is going on in our world. Some of you may remember what happened in France with the terroristic act of the man plowing the truck through the crowd, killing over 85 people. The nightclub shooting in Orlando, that was a tragic event. The bombing in Belgium. The Istanbul airport attack. The Dallas police shooting, that's a little bit closer to home. I remember Justin and Natalie Gass were in Dallas at that time celebrating their anniversary, and that happened that day. And that's very close to home. Terrible thing. Think about Hurricane Matthew killing over 900 people this past year, the Zika virus outbreak, the stock market decline, and all these are terrible things. And even think about in a political realm, okay? Remember our presidential election this past year? Man, I'll be honest. They were mean to each other, and it was both sides. Let's be honest. It wasn't just the side you disagreed with. No, it was both sides. They were hateful to each other, slandering each other. I mean, just terrible things that are happening, and those are people that are in a high office. And I will tell you, this world is just filled with terrible things, and I'm going to be true with you this morning. The Bible is very clear that it's going to get worse. Let's just be honest. Jesus even talked about it. As a matter of fact, the Apostle Paul says to Timothy here in 2 Timothy chapter 3, and he says this, but mark this, there will be terrible times in the last days. And he makes this list to Timothy here, and let's see if some of these ring truths today, okay? First of all, he says, people will be lovers of themselves. Check. Lovers of money. Check. Boastful. Check. Proud. Check. Abusive. Check. Disobedient to their parents. Double check. Ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, not lovers of good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power. Let's be honest, that is the spiritual attitude of this world today. It truly is. And it is absolutely heartbreaking. When we see the hatred, when we see the slandering, when we see lying and just the malice that is just built up in this world, and I will tell you, this world, for some reason, we are so misled that we think we need to put our hope in government leaders or political leaders, or we need to put our hope in more money, or if we just had enough food, or if we just had enough resources. Sadly, that's what the world has led to think today. But the truth is this, that is not what the world needs. What the world needs is the good news, and that is the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that's what this world needs today. That word, the gospel, means this, very simply, the good news. The good news of who? Jesus Christ. The Greek word for that is euangelion. If you look at it, it looks like the word evangelism, okay? And that's where we get that from. But the good news of Jesus Christ is the gospel. So today, the lost people of this world need to hear the gospel. Church, Christians, today, we need to be reminded of the gospel. And let me ask you a question. Can you just imagine living a life without God, and a life without hope? Think about that today. Yes, we understand as Christians there is a God, that we have hope in Jesus Christ, that he is the one that loved us, that gave up his son for us today. But there are people out there who don't even know that. Several months ago, as a matter of fact, it was actually about 2 years ago, I was working for the BSM, the College Baptist Student Ministry up at Vernon College, and there was a young man named Brett Whiteside, and he's from the Lake Dallas area, and I remember we shared the gospel that night with those college students. There was about 60, 65 college students there that night, And this young man, after everything was over, and I had shared the gospel, and I said, if you want to come talk to me after we're done, feel free to come speak to me. I'd be glad to let you know what all this was about. And he came up to me, and he said this to me, a man from Dallas, a young man from Dallas, and he said to me, he said, Brother Nathan, he goes, I've never heard that before. And it absolutely broke my heart that here's a young 19-year-old man who had never heard the account of Jesus Christ in the gospel. And it broke my heart. And that's what our world lives like today, that there is no God, that there is no hope. And that's why God gave us the person of Jesus Christ to share his gospel, to share his good news with this lost and dying world. So this morning, if you have your Bibles, I'm going to ask if you go to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And we're going to read verses just 1 through 4 this morning, not a very long passage. And I'm reading from the English Standard Version. And this morning as we read, I'm going to ask out of the reverence of reading of God's Word that we would stand together as a church and we honor Him through His reading. This is what it says in 1 Corinthians 15, verses 1 through 4. And he says this, this is the Apostle Paul. Now I would remind you, brothers, of the gospel that I preached to you, which you received, in which you stand, and which by you are being saved, if you hold fast to the word that I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered to you as first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the scriptures. Let's pray one more time. Heavenly Father, I pray right now in these next few moments, God, as your word has been read, God, that you would just lay it upon our hearts. God, I pray again today, if there's anyone in this room who does not know Jesus as their Savior, I pray, God, that they would make that decision today. Be with us in this time. May you be honored, and I pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. This is a very interesting text, and I love it because the Apostle Paul is speaking to a church, to Christian people. If you know anything about the Apostle Paul, I believe he's probably one of the greatest Christians to ever live, and not because it's a contest or anything, but I just see his faithfulness, even unto death, about how he served Jesus, how he served the Lord. And he is reminding this church, these Christian people, of the gospel. He's reminded them, okay? And the Apostle Paul, he spent a lot of his ministry going to different places, okay? You think about as he went to Athens, Greece, okay? I'm going to tell you, Athens was a weird, weird place at the time. It was kind of like the Austin, Texas of Greece, okay? So, boomer sooner, I knew it was coming. So, yeah, and so it was kind of like the Austin, Texas of Greece. Just a very, very weird place. And the Apostle Paul had some success there. But if you look at Corinth, he had great success in Corinth. He literally spent a year and a half preaching the gospel of Jesus. A year and a half just nonstop preaching the gospel of Jesus there at that church, or there in Corinth. My mentor, Roger, and I think about this man. This is a guy who discipled me, a man who taught me about the gospel, a man who really helped me grow as a Christian, and I'm very grateful for him today. He was my youth pastor growing up, and I will say he's probably the greatest youth pastor on earth, and just a tremendous, tremendous man. He used to tell me like these little sayings that would help me, and he would show me the ins and outs of ministry. He was the first person that gave me my first paying job in ministry, and I'm very grateful for that. But he told me this one time concerning the gospel. He said, Nathan, the gospel is profoundly simple, yet it is simply profound. And I remember he told me that, and as a, 18 years old, I really didn't think too much about that. But as I get older now, I realize that the gospel message is such a simple message. And why is it so simple? That as people, if we believe it and receive it, something profound happens. And that is that we have a changed heart. It's so cool, and I've always thought this, how God can create anything just at the, just thinking of it at the blink of an eye, at the snap of a finger, just by saying, well, he can create anything. But what's so amazing about God is that he can change the heart of a man. That's amazing to me, that God can literally change your heart. The Bible talks about in the Old Testament how God can turn the heart of stone into a heart of flesh, meaning that God creates in us a brand new pure heart. This morning I have some special guests with us, and when I found out that, or I knew that I was already going to be preaching this, and then a little bit later I found out that some family members or some friends of ours that are like family members to us are going to be here. Bill and Faye Blue, and if you'll just kind of stand up and wave real quick, you don't have to stay, it doesn't matter, but that's Bill and Faye Blue.
And they are great friends of ours, and they're from Vernon, Texas. And you see, he's got a mask on his face. Don't let that bother you. It's not like a zombie apocalypse is about to happen. But Bill, and I'll tell you why he has that here in just a moment. But Bill and Faye have been great friends of ours, and they've become like family to us. They have been great encouragers to us. Faye is probably the sweetest lady I've ever met in my entire life. I've never heard anything negative, anything sarcastic come out of her mouth. She's always been a great encourager to us. While we were there in Vernon, we were there for about 6 years, and she was a great encouragement to Ashley as well as me, and Bill was a great confidant for me. I could go and share things with him, and I knew that he would not share that with anybody else, and so they were just great people for us while we were there in Vernon. But the reason that Bill is wearing that mask is today, he celebrates 1 year. It was a year ago today that he had a fully successful heart transplant. Absolutely amazing. And when I look at Bill and Faye Blue, all I think about is how faithful God truly is. And that's either in life and also in death. God is faithful. Please understand that, okay? But I look at them and I see how faithful God is. I remember the day that Bill actually had to go have a procedure done. They had no clue that he was going to have a heart transplant. And he had to go get a procedure done. And our church family, we prayed for them and we let them know how much we cared for them and loved them. And they lived right down the road from us. So we took care of their dog and all that, they have two dogs now. And so we took care of their dogs. And they went down to, what was it, UT Southwestern? They're in Dallas. And I remember he was having this procedure done. And that day, Faye called me, and I'm going to say it's about 11 o'clock, and I was working with some BSM students there at the college, Vernon, and it's Faye, and I was like, oh, I guess Bill's out of surgery, and so I answered the phone, and I said, hello, Faye, and she said, Nathan. Well, as soon as she said that, I knew that something was wrong, either that Bill had either passed or something, you know, was just not going right, and she said, they are stitching up Bill. His surgery did not go the way that we thought it would. It's not looking good. So I need you to pray. I need you to, you know, alert the church, let the church know, just to be praying for us. And so we did. I let the people know up there and we prayed for him. And I will tell you, Bill was going through a hard time. I remember Ashley and some of her friends drove from Vernon to Dallas just to go visit with Faye and to see Bill. And she said Bill was laying there in the bed, just lifeless. And every now and then, Bill would wake up and he would be okay, and then he would just go back into it, and just a terrible time for him as well as Faye. But I saw their heart through that entire thing, how they were really honoring God no matter what the circumstance was. And I thought that was just so neat just to see them. What a great example that was for us. But I see this man, and I went down to visit him one day, and I saw him. And he looked absolutely terrible. And he looks great today, don't get me wrong. And so, but he looked bad. I'm just being honest. He looked like he had aged another 20 years within 2 weeks. And it was terrible. And the doctors had told him that, I believe, is what, only about 25 to 30% of your heart was working correctly. And they told him, we're going to have a heart transplant, but there's an issue. We don't have a heart yet for you. And you're kind of high up on the list, and some of you probably know how that works being in the medical field. And they said, you're really not a high priority right now. And they said, if we cannot find a heart within the next few days, we're going to have to send you home, and then you're just going to get higher on the list. And that was terrible news for them. I knew that. And so they let us know, and we prayed as a church. We prayed as families, and it was a really neat thing to see how God worked. And I believe it was 8 hours before he was let go. They had already written up the paperwork that he was going to go that next morning. And it was at 11:45 at night, and the doctor called and says, Bill, I think we have a heart for you. And they prayed about it, and sure enough, 8 hours later, he has this fully successful heart transplant. One of the coolest things about this story is I was told, and I wasn't there for this, but I was told that as Bill and Faye, as they were going back to the operating room, they were singing a song together. I'll tell you, Baptists love to sing, by the way. We just do. And so, but they were singing a song together, and it was a song that we sang all the time in our church, and the lyrics say, we will remember the works of your hand, for we will stop and we will give you praise because great is thy faithfulness. Think about that. Amazing. We see their heart as Christians. And today we see how they are just a testament to us, not because he's got a brand new physical heart, but because God has already changed their heart. And that's what the gospel message does for us. It literally changes our heart. Amazing to know that God can do that. In verse 1, the Apostle Paul says here in 1 Corinthians, and he says this, he says, now I would remind you, my brothers, of the gospel. He is reminding Christian people of the message that they have heard. And he says here that I want to remind you of this gospel. Please understand this, okay? Because we are human, we are prone to forget. Let's be honest. I'm prone to forget things in life. I know there's been times, Ashley, hey, did you take out the trash today? Yeah. And so, but no, I didn't. Why? Because I forgot. And so, don't worry, I don't really lie to my wife. Don't think that. And so, but we are prone to forget as Christians. Let's be honest. Some of the reasons we're prone to forget is because, man, we get busy. We literally get busy. I think about our high school students and I look at them. They are busy people. When I was in high school, I don't remember being that busy. Yeah, I had a job, and man, I went to school. I played basketball, played football a little bit, but I was not as busy as some of these students are today. They are crazy busy. Sometimes in life, we are distracted. Things distract us from the things of God, and let's be honest, that happens to us. Also, sometimes, and this is hard, we can become apathetic and dismissive to the gospel. I've done it before. Man, that person needs the gospel. Well, maybe I can tell them another time. And sometimes we get very apathetic towards it. We cannot be that way. We have to be reminded of the gospel, as Paul says here. And Paul says, which I preach to you. This is a big deal. We are the bearers of the good news of Jesus Christ. Please understand that we are the ones who are to proclaim the message of Jesus. Listen to what Romans 10:14 says. It says this. How then will they call on him in whom they have not believed? How will they believe in him and who they have not heard? And how will they hear without a preacher? Please understand this. This is not talking about a man who stands behind a pulpit and just pounds the wood here and just says, hey, this is what you need to do. No, that's not what this is talking about. A preacher is someone who is willing to go out and share the message of the gospel. That's what Paul is talking about here, that we have to share. And the apostle Paul passed his beliefs on by sharing, by preaching the good news of the gospel. And then he says this. I preach to you, which you also received. Now, this is a very big deal. The gospel, for us as humans, we have to receive it. John 1:12 says this, and listen to this. This is very important. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave them the right to become children of God. That word received in the Greek is paralambano, which means literally to invite in, to bring in, to welcome in. And so we receive the gospel. And then later on, as he talks about in this verse, we see there is a great benefit to the gospel. And he says this right here at the very end of verse 1, in which you stand. That's important because, see, the gospel of Jesus Christ, it stabilizes us. The gospel of Jesus Christ, we are safely anchored because of that. It holds us. We are rooted in there. Last time I got to preach, I showed a video of one of my favorite wrestlers, Ultimate Warrior. I don't have a video for you today. Sorry about that. But I used to do that kind of wrestling, okay? Some of you probably know that. I've got friends here who saw me do it way back then. And so this was about 15 years ago. And some friends of mine, we decided, well, you know what? This is where God's leading us. And so we built our own wrestling ring. It was called ECW Extreme Christian Wrestling. We were based out of a church in the Lakeside area in between Lake Worth and Azle. And the church funded us. They gave us, you know, their facility to use. And I remember we did over 20-some-odd shows in that deal. And we saw over 200 people come to know Jesus Christ. And I would always tell people when they would ask, well, what is that about? And I'd just say, what we do is, man, we just beat the snot out of each other and just tell people about Jesus. And that's what we did. And truly, that's what happened. Now, yes, it was fixed. It wasn't real and all that kind of stuff. But I did get hurt a time or two, okay? I cut my leg wide open, had a minor concussion, and that actually did happen. But whenever we did this, man, we were always looking for new talent, see if there's people who would like to get involved somehow. And we were kind of small to begin with. We eventually grew to about 40, 45 people being involved in several different areas and not just all people who wanted to wrestle. But I remember one day we were sitting in church and I see this big dude walk by me. And I'm like, who is this? Now, I'm about 6'4 or so, and this guy was towering over me. I mean, he was probably bigger than Keith Kubosh, if y'all know what I'm talking about. Just a big old dude. He was about 6'7, close to 6'8 maybe, I don't know. Just a big guy, weighed about 360 pounds, and I'm like, holy smokes, we got to get this guy to wrestle with us. And I was so excited to see him, and I told my friends, I was like, dude, there's a guy in my church. He's huge. He needs to come wrestle with us. And they're like, we'll go talk to him. Well, the very next Sunday, I go back to church. He approaches me. And he goes, hey, you that wrestling guy? And I was like, yeah, that's me. He goes, I'd like to try out if y'all do that. And I said, yeah, come this Saturday. We're gonna have a workout. Come this Saturday and we'll train you and everything. He said, okay. So his name is David Bolton and he's a great friend of mine. And David, he came that Saturday And I was in charge of training the big boys. We had some smaller guys, and I didn't care about them. They didn't matter to me. But I trained all the big boys, excuse me. And I was so excited to say, man, I'm going to throw this dude around. I'm going to show him what's up. So anyways, I said, all right, this is what we're going to do. I'm going to teach you how to fall, how to protect yourself. I'm going to teach you how to lock up and all this good stuff. And I said, this is what you want to do with your feet. This is what you want to do with your hands. This is what you want to do with your body. And I was showing them all the little ins and outs of that. And I said, all right, we're going to lock up. And so, boom, we locked up. My goodness, that was the strongest human being that I'd ever met in my life. And we ended up calling him Polar Bear. That was just his nickname. And so I locked up with him, and usually I could push people back or pull them towards me. That guy was not moving because, I mean, he's just a monster of a man. But I remember seeing his feet. He had properly positioned his feet that he was not going to be moved. You see, here's a picture of the gospel, that the gospel, once you believe it, you are stabilized and you are now safely anchored because of Jesus Christ. That is a big deal. Verse 2, we see another benefit of the gospel. And listen to what he says here in the first part. And by which you are being saved. The gospel of Jesus Christ is what saves us. Through the person of Jesus Christ, and we're going to hear a little bit more about that. Understand this. When you receive the gospel, God saves you. Praise God. When I received the gospel as a 16-year-old boy, Jesus Christ saved my life. I remember it was the summer right before my junior year at Azle High School, and I just gotten back from a youth camp. God had been speaking to me, been convicting me. And I grew up in a minister's household, and I wasn't even saved. And I grew I went to camp, excuse me. And as I came back, I was just very convicted. And I went to tell my dad, and I said, Dad, I said, I don't think I'm a Christian. And he said, come on, son, let's go to your room. We can take care of that tonight. And I remember it was my dad who led me to the Lord, and I'm very grateful for that. But I remember I was so excited about what God had done in my life. And I worked at this place in Azle called Mark Dean's Barbecue. Some of you probably heard of it, probably even eaten there. And I worked there for several years. I started out as a bus boy, worked my way up to a washer, and then became a washer and a prep cook, and then became prep cook to a line cook. And I just really enjoyed that job. Well, we had a good crew there that worked. Well, there was this one guy named Josh, and he was a big old dude, had a big mouth. I mean, he was just, you know, he had to mouth off about everything. And I remember we were sitting there, and this was the night after that I accepted Christ as my Savior. And we're sitting there, and we're prepping everything, and he's asking everybody, so how'd your night go last night? What'd you do? And they get to me, and they said, Nathan, how was your night? I said, it was good. I got saved. And I really didn't know what to say, but he said, he, you know, just wanted to be a smart aleck and goes, saved from what? And I said, from hell. Yeah, shut the whole place down. And so anyways, I really didn't know what to say. I just knew what was in my heart. But as I get older and I understand Scripture a little bit more, I understand this, that God didn't just save us from hell, but listen to this. He saves us to Jesus. Isn't that awesome? That he saves us to Jesus. And everything that he is, I received. And everything that he is, you receive. And we receive forgiveness for our sins. We have the best friend that we could ever ask for. We have a comforter in the Holy Spirit. And guess what? I now have a new name written down in glory because I am a child of God. Listen, I don't have my name written down on a whole bunch of stuff here on this earth, but my name is written down in heaven. And when I go and stand before judgment of God, he's going to say to me, young man, why should I let you into my kingdom? And Jesus Christ is going to become my advocate and says, because he received the gospel. Praise God that we are saved because of the gospel. At the end of this verse, very interesting, he says, by which you are being saved, if you hold fast to the word that I preach to you, unless you believed in vain. Two things we see here. He's saying that either you believe it or you don't. And at the end, he's saying that maybe there's something else that you believed other than the gospel. And that's what he's talking about right there. The next part of this is a huge part. In verse 3, he says this, for I deliver to you as first importance. We see here there is a priority to the gospel. Not just a priority, but really it should be the top priority, that it is first importance. You know, Pastor Lee's been going through this series in the last couple of weeks about the believe, love, and obey. And last week he talked about love and about how we are known by our love and how this world's going to see us by our love, how the way we treat each other. I will tell you this, added on to what he said last week, that the greatest way you can love someone is to tell them about Jesus. Really, that's the greatest way we can love someone is to tell them in this lost and dying world that there is hope, and it's only found in the person of Jesus Christ. We have to share the gospel because it is a command. Look what Mark 16:15 says. He says, go into all the world and preach the good news to everyone. Then Paul says in 2 Corinthians 5:20, he says that we are ambassadors for Jesus Christ, that we are literally making a plea to this world to come to God. And it is our job. We are the bearers of this gospel, and it is a priority. It is priority one. And then the next part we see here, verse 3 says, for as I delivered for you is of first importance, in which you also received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the scripture. Now he's really getting into something very profound, something very deep, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the scriptures, talking about what was said in the Old Testament. Please understand this. We are all sinners. It's just a fact. I'm a sinner. My wife Ashley's a sinner. My mom here, she's here today. She's definitely a sinner. I'm teasing. Judge not lest you be judged. I know so, but no, I love my mama. But we are all sinners, okay? We have all messed up. We have all fallen short of the glory and the perfection of God's standard of who he is. We have all fallen short of that. And because of that, we have now been separated. And this is actually kind of a scary thing, but it's also a great thing. And because we have been separated, there had to be a sacrifice to bring us back together. And as Christians, we understand that that sacrifice came through the person of Jesus Christ. He was the atoning sacrifice for our sins, meaning that he was the one who literally took our place upon the cross. Psalm 22 and even Isaiah 53 are very clear in saying that the Messiah would have to die. Now, from the Old Testament even till today, it never changes that it is always the innocent life for the guilty life. Think about that, that Jesus Christ, the perfect Son of God, had to give his life for us sinful people. And that's what happened. Matter of fact, Christ did that for the entire world. 1 John 2:2 says this. This is a great verse. And he is the propitiation, meaning the atoning sacrifice, for our sins. And not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. That's great news right there. You know what that verse is saying? It's saying this, that if you're breathing today, Jesus died for you. That's what that verse is saying. 1 Peter 2:24, another great verse. He himself bore our sins in his own body upon the tree that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. By his wounds, we are healed. I hope you understand that the entire heart of the Bible is that Jesus Christ died for our sins. That's the entire heart of the Bible. Jesus was the one who paid our debt. Jesus is the one who literally went to the cross for us. One serious thing I want us to understand and really just think about this morning. When Jesus, before he was crucified, he knew what was about to happen. And he went and prayed, as it was recorded in Matthew 26 and Luke 22. And he says something pretty amazing in this prayer. And I'm pretty sure most of y'all know what it's talking about. But when he says, my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will. And we see two great things here. First of all, we see, yes, Jesus literally surrenders to the will of the Father, saying that it's not what I want, it's what you want. It's your will, God, and I'm going to surrender to it so that way the world can be saved. And Jesus literally surrenders to the will of the Father. But he says something in here. He says, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me. And I've always wondered growing up, what is that cup? What is he talking about? And I could kind of figure out with context, clues and everything. But what Jesus is doing here is he's referring and he's remembering what is written in the Old Testament. I mean, he should because he wrote it. And so Jesus is remembering what happened in the Old Testament. And it says here, listen to this. This is big. Psalm 75:8. He says this, for in the hand of the Lord, there is a cup with foaming wine, which is well mixed, and he pours it out from it. And all the wicked of the earth will drink it down to its very dregs. This is a very scary thing. You see, Jesus Christ endured this cup, and this cup right here is the wrath of God Almighty. And Jesus literally took our place upon the cross, and the wrath of God was poured out upon his own Son. And Jesus did that for you. And he says here that all the wicked of the earth will drink it down to its very dregs. The people that are the wicked are those who have never received the gift of the gospel in the person of Jesus Christ. The people that are lost, those are the wicked. And sadly, one day they're going to have to drink that cup to its very dregs. Dear God, give us a sense of urgency, because this ought to get us going, that there is a lost and dying world that needs to hear about Jesus Christ. Why? Because the wrath of God is coming like a freight train, and we need to have a sense of urgency. My goodness. I've got lost family members. I've got lost friends. And I tell them all the time, come to Jesus. Go to Jesus. He is the only way of salvation. And listen, I understand not everybody on this earth is going to accept Christ. I get that. I understand that. But church, we have a mouth, and we need to tell people about Jesus Christ, that there is forgiveness for your sins. Last week, we talked about with our high school in Ephesians chapter 2, when Paul said that we were once dead in our sins, and by nature, we were objects of wrath of God. Think about this. Because of our sins, that cup, that wrath of God was coming towards us. But in the next few verses, we see one of the greatest conjunctions in all the Bible, and we've heard it before. It says this, but God, who is rich in mercy and great in love, even when we were yet dead in our sins, he made us alive with Jesus Christ. That is great news, and we ought to shout and holler because of that today, because our sins can be forgiven. Why? Because God is great in mercy. He is rich in love. And guess what? He can make us alive in Jesus Christ. That's why Philip and the band can come up here and lead us in that song. Oh, praise the one who paid my debt and raised this life up from the dead. Why? Because Jesus Christ is the one who gives us brand new life. You see that word atonement? If you look at it, it looks like at one man. Think about this. Perfect and holy God is now at one with sinful human man. Pretty amazing that God literally gave his only son to be the propitiation for our sin. And we need to have a sense of urgency to go tell this world. Verse 4, I really enjoy this. It says that he was buried. This is kind of interesting because, believe it or not, there are people out there who would say that Jesus actually didn't die. And this is actually believed by a pretty large group of people, matter of fact, pretty educated group, that Jesus actually didn't die, that after he got off the cross, they put him in the tomb, the disciples came, snuck him out, they stitched up his wounds, and then he got better, and a little bit later, he married Mary Magdalene, and they had a bunch of kids together. There's actually a group that believes that. But I will tell you this today, and look at me, okay? Jesus died, and they buried him. There was no faking in this. Nothing whatsoever to make us think that Jesus literally did not die, but he literally died. And then we see the next greatest thing here. And he says, and that he was raised to life on the third day in accordance with the scriptures. My goodness, that is amazing. That is great news. Acts 2:24 says, but God released him from the horrors of death and raised him back to life, for death could not keep him in its grip. See, he rose bodily. Jesus Christ rose victoriously from the grave. Remember what happened when he went to the disciples after he rose? He said, look at my hands. Look at my scars. Put your hand in my side if you don't believe me. And then, matter of fact, he actually ate food with them. He ate fish. It wasn't fried fish, but I mean, it was fish. And so, but I love how he went to them, and it just kind of shows us what our bodies will be like in heaven. But Jesus rose from the grave, and he is alive. And I'm just being truthful today, that if Jesus Christ did not rise from the grave, I'm going to go ahead and shut my Bible and let's go ahead and leave and go get something to eat, because today this would all be a farce. If Jesus Christ did not rise from the grave, everything that we would believe would be in vain. Some of you just got back from Israel, and when you went to Jerusalem, I'm going to tell you something. If you saw his bones, sorry, we're doomed. But the truth is this, Jesus Christ rose victoriously from the grave. And not only did he rise victoriously, but Revelation 1:18 says that he rose eternally forevermore. That's amazing, because church, today we serve a risen Savior who is in this world today. And because he is risen, as the gospel says, when we accept that, we too have been risen to life. That's great news today. So there it is. There's the gospel. So what are we talking about? Well, we're talking about Jesus. We're talking about his sacrifice upon the cross. We're talking about his shed blood for the forgiveness of our sins. We're talking about that he was buried, that he was literally dead. And we're talking about that he rose victoriously from the grave. And if we're not willing to talk about that, then we're probably not sharing the gospel. But as the man says, who wrote these words, says in Romans chapter 1, he says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is a power of God unto salvation for anyone who believes." Church, we cannot be ashamed of the gospel. We cannot be ashamed of the one that we love. We cannot be ashamed of the one who loved us first, who gave his life upon the tree for us, that he died for our sins, that he went to the grave and took the sting out of it. We cannot be ashamed of the gospel. We have to go tell this lost and dying world. You see, when the Apostle Paul says here in Romans 1, he says that the gospel, that it is the power of God unto salvation. That word power in the Greek, that word is dynamos. What does it sound like to you? Dynamite, that's right. Hey, I'm gonna tell you something. JJ from Good Times was on to someone. He said, "Dynamite!" You know what I'm talking about? Because guess what? When you share the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, the very dynamite power of God is at work. That's amazing. We cannot be ashamed. We cannot be scared to share the gospel. It's amazing. The last point I wanna make with you today is this. The gospel of Jesus Christ is relevant for everyone. The gospel of Christ is for every single person who has walked the face of this earth. Because the truth is this today, it is not the white man's gospel. It is not the black man's gospel. It is not the brown man's gospel or the red man's gospel or the yellow man's gospel. No, it is the gospel of Jesus Christ that's been given to all mankind, which God did everything he could so we could be saved. Because salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved. For if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For anyone, listen to this, for anyone who calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. The gospel is for everyone, and we need to share the gospel. A couple months ago, you know that most of you know that my dad passed away, and I had the great opportunity to preach his memorial service. It was not something necessarily that I looked forward to. I knew the day was coming. As I saw my dad going downhill, and we just had to prepare for it. And I said, you know what? I'm going to preach my dad's funeral. And the only thing I could think of is my dad just telling me, son, tell them about Jesus. The last thing I said at my dad's funeral was this, that if my dad had an opportunity to come back, which he's not, he is in heaven, he's gone. But if he ever had an opportunity to come back, I believe he would tell you this. I don't think he would make small talk. I don't think he would talk about your kids or your grandkids or talk about the Dallas Cowboys or talk about the political election, which he had a lot to say about it. But I believe he would tell you this. Don't miss Jesus. Don't miss Jesus. Why? Because Jesus is the only way of salvation. Church, we are his ambassadors. We are his representatives. We need to go tell this world, don't miss Jesus. Because sadly, this world is going astray, and it is up to us as the bearer of good news to go and tell them about the person of Jesus Christ. This morning, you're here today. I don't know your circumstance. I don't know your situation. I don't know your background. But guess what? Understand this. One of the greatest things that you could ever know is no matter where you come from, no matter who you are, God loves you. And he loved you so much that he gave his one and only son. And yes, we are sinners. We have fallen short of God's glory. And if you understand that I've sinned, that I need to be forgiven of my sins, you can put your faith in the person of Jesus Christ and you are automatically forgiven. You are automatically been given a brand new heart. And maybe there's some of you here today who have never put your faith in Jesus Christ. And I pray today that you understand that you need to make that decision. Maybe there's some of you here today and you said, man, I've lost my way and I'm just not as passionate about the gospel as I used to be. Maybe I just need to get right with God and I need to get more passionate about it. I'm praying for you today that God would change your heart, that God would help you in that. Maybe some of you today are Christians in here and you've never even been baptized. The Bible talks about that is the first way and one of the greatest ways you tell the world that you have been saved, that Jesus Christ has changed your life. And maybe you need to get baptized as a Christian. This morning, we're going to open up these steps, this altar to you this morning. And there's going to be men and women who are going to be down here. If you need to pray with somebody, I'll be down here. Some men will be down here. Some ladies will be down here. If you need to pray with somebody, we're going to give you this opportunity. If you need to pray to receive Christ as your Savior, we're going to give you that opportunity as well. I would tell you this, Settle it today, because we are not promised tomorrow. Matter of fact, we're not even promised the next 5 minutes, but settle it today. I'm going to ask Philip if he would come up here, and he's going to lead us in a song, and I'm going to pray for us. But if that was you today and you need to make a decision, please come down, because you have to settle it today. So I'm going to pray for us real quick, and then we're going to open this up this morning. Heavenly Father, as we come to you right now, I just pray today, God, that you have been honored. I pray, God, if there's anyone in this room who does not have a relationship with you, I pray, God, that they would make it right with you today. God, I pray that they do not wait. I pray they don't tarry. But, God, that they understand that right now is the appointed time for salvation. God, I pray for Christians in this room. God, maybe we just lost our way, and we just get very dismissive of things. I just pray, God, that you would just renew in our hearts today, God, that we need to be more excited and more passionate about telling this world about Jesus Christ. But God, I just pray that we would get things right with you today. May you be honored in this time of invitation. May you be glorified. And I pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. And this morning, I ask those men and women, if you'll come down. If you need to pray with someone, this is the time. If you need to settle that decision today, I ask that you come and do it at this very moment. Let's stand together.